Yeah, I just want to, yeah, I'm conscious that you'll want a break soon, but with the teenagers, this feels really important. I was sparked by this, seeing an article that this guy Daubney had written, and I wrote my own article on it, and you can find it on my website. That's the link to it. And if you're interested, please go and read it, and I'd love to hear your feedback on it. The thing is, and I think you were saying over there in the back, I'm sorry, I don't know your name.
Oh, Debbie.
Debbie. Thank you. How nowadays children are exposed to so much more. It's a different world, and I know I age myself in this, but I didn't see pornography. There were no smartphones. There was nothing accessible. And children nowadays are exposed to anything and everything and are really being impacted. And I'm concerned about that impact because they're seeing things, expected to behave in a certain way before they've even formed their own sexual identity and who and what they are. But they're feeling they need to behave in a certain way. So in earlier days, when I say it wasn't so accessible, I mean, I remember teaching a sixth form class, and it was really quite funny because as I was teaching, you'd think they'd be hanging off my every word, but no, I see something being passed around. So I say, hey, bring it here. Oh, shock, horror. And I could tell this is something very exciting because, ma'am, no, we're putting it away. No, it's gone. I said, now I was curious. Bring it up. No, an absolute misery. Because now they were going to have to part with a pornographic magazine. So the kid brings me this magazine and all the boys are crestfallen. Oh my God, there's their lunchtime fun gone because that sort of bitch teacher's now taken their magazine away. So I look at it. Porn. Wow, this is a fascinating magazine. Oh man, please. Please give it back to us. We'll do anything. She said, no. So I took it, carried on the lesson. Of course, didn't need to punish them for anything because that was punishment enough. They were bleak. They were so bleak. Of course, I didn't teach in politically correct times or a politically correct country. So I thought, oh, I've got this magazine. What am I going to do with this now? So I went up to the staff room. I said, hey guys, to all the men teachers, look what I've got. Do you want this? Or they had a very exciting lunchtime. They were awfully excited. The thing is, though, we were not exposed to that, but our children are. And I find that quite concerning. These are all sort of newspaper headlines, and that's just from last year and into this year, over about a 6-month period. The sexting pressure, what happens with these photos. If we took any photos, we had to take them into a shop to get them delivered, developed rather. So there was no impulsive, oh, I'm taking a picture of you, upload it there. It's in cyberspace, it's there forevermore. And it can be so totally destructive. Lesson for my son. It's almost like shame at the expense of somebody else, but yes. Okay, Dylan, do you remember we had this conversation, you don't ever take pictures and send them, and that's things like that. But it's heartbreaking. So these children are exposed to so much, and the porn that they are seeing, there's a study in that I write about that porn is as addictive or can be to certain types of personalities and people as heroin or alcohol. So it stimulates the pleasure center of the brain, and they've done brain scans, and your ordinary brain that's not going to be addictive gets excited and turned on and all of that, but the person who has a tendency to be or propensity to be addictive lights up like a Christmas tree. So what happens then if someone, especially as a kid in this vulnerable state, becomes addicted to porn? I've seen clients how it impacts, and one of them is watching too much porn, and that almost replaces being with somebody, the human being. And then the other person is left thinking, well, is that about me? Do they not find me attractive? I can't be a porn star. I mean, if you're a porn star, I think you can't have gag reflex, can you? You can't ever get lockjaw. And as a guy, you just need to be able to keep it going and you never, you know, lose an erection. It's not possible. It's not realistic. But our kids are thinking that's what they need to live up to. And it's all about, I think that's also what I would say with the pornography. Pornography can be very much part of a healthy life and existence. I think as a couple or with someone, it can be a part of your sex life. You can enjoy it on your own. Places like fertility clinics. If a guy has to give a sperm sample, it's a very clinical setting, they will have pornography. So that the guy can, you know, because he's time limited and nurses waiting out the door, and so he needs to quickly get it on, and so there's porn. So it has its place, it's okay. But it seems that the porn is getting darker and more about male domination and female humiliation. And so our children are seeing that and thinking, well, that's how I have to be. And they know no better. So for instance, this was a letter that was in, it was just this last Sunday paper, and I see this sort of stuff all the time. I've recently started going out with a 20-year-old and I'm 18. I'm really worried about not being good enough for him. He wants to go to swingers clubs and watch other guys having fun with me. He wants me to be submissive in the bedroom, to tie me up and blindfold me and do whatever he wants to me without me stopping him. This isn't me at all. I'm scared he will leave me if I don't act out his fantasies. We haven't had sex together yet, but I'm terrified and I don't know what to do. That's just a standard letter. I think that's quite common. I think that's really heartbreaking. But it's not just heartbreaking for the girl. I think for the guys as well. I think there's this assumption that it's not tough for them either. But what are the teenage boys or any man thinking that they're meant to be like that, these macho heroes, and to just take the woman and that's what sex is? So they're equally like the women, missing out on a loving, close, intimate relationship. And I think that can be really sad. And so, yeah, so there's a lot that goes with it. I don't know if there's the equivalent here that there would be, but I don't know what you call it. In South Africa, there was this thing about teens going to rainbow parties. And a rainbow party was the accepted thing that a guy on his penis would get as many different colored lipsticks on it. And the more he got, the more he was the man. So that concept that for a guy, just one blowjob after the other, and that's okay. And the girl's feeling, well, I have to do that. The boy's thinking, well, I have to do that. So it hurts on every level. And I just wanted to actually talk about Miley, because she happens to be in the news at the moment. And she's being, laughed at, ridiculed, all sorts of stuff going on for her. And I think that's what happens with our teenagers. What are they meant to think? How are they meant to be? So on the one hand, they are grappling with their sexuality. So they're very precocious. You look at Miley Cyrus, my God, she knows every move under the sun, and she's exceedingly sexual, and so she must be mature and ready to handle it. But on the other side, I think they're very vulnerable and they really would like to be loved and to have that intimacy and seeking it out. I think maybe, you know, picking up on what you said earlier about, you know, reaching out to men, just wanting to be close, but looking for it in ways where it's not going to leave you feeling very fulfilled. And what I found interesting, I've just got a little excerpt of Wrecking Ball to play, and I just want to get your responses afterwards, and to see what you think. and you will see.
Yeah.
No, you need to turn it around this way.
I'm joking.
She's got a lot of flack for that. So any views? I mean, what does that raise for you?